And it is 6 minutes to nine now. Last week, a lot of people got very upset because of the European Court of Human Rights ruled that it was okay for company bosses to read emails and Yahoo messages sent by one of their workers. This is, after all, the technological age, and if they can keep a careful eye on what their staff are getting up to, they will, and we'll just have to get used to it, won't we? But what else will we have to get used to? How do you fancy, for instance, having to wear an electronic watch that the boss will monitor to see if you're really working as hard as you should be? And that's just for starters. Well, I'm joined by two people in this field and know a lot about it, Kate Bevan, technology and broadcast journalist, and Dr. Chris Brower, who is Director of Innovation at the Institute of Management Studies at Goldsmiths University. Kate, you're a bit nervous about it, I think it's fair to say.
I'm not nervous particularly about this ruling, because actually it doesn't...
No, not the ruling specifically, no. But about where this whole thing is going.
Well, people have been monitoring employees at work since Henry Ford was walking around with a clipboard doing time and motion. The thing that I think is concerning is the increasing growth of this. I mean, your employer can take screenshots of what you're doing. They can record your keystrokes. In some cases, people are starting to wear Fitbits, as you mentioned.
They can actually record your keystrokes.
Oh, that's a fairly standard technology, actually. Yeah. I mean, the point is it has to be transparent. It has to be something that's agreed when you sign your contract or by a publication of a variation of contract. And so what happened at the Telegraph recently when sensors were installed under the desk to monitor environmental conditions, I don't think that had been agreed in advance. And so when the Telegraph journalists went, "What's this? We don't like it." And the Telegraph wrote back quite quickly.
Right. So, Chris, do you recognise that picture?
I do. I think that the surveillance is a major issue. A lot of the work that we're doing focuses more around how these technologies can enhance productivity in the workplace and some of the benefits that they can bring.
How?
Well, you know, productivity is at an all-time low here in the UK. Growth since the Second World War, this has been over the last couple of years, the lowest level of growth. A lot of that relates to the lack of using technology in a productive way. We're doing experiments where we can see that wearable technologies can anticipate innovation in a company. They can anticipate areas that are going to suffer from lulls well in advance.
Explain that.
Well, there's social sensing software, for example, that monitors the congregation, the networking within organizations, how organizations are functioning. It's not unlike a fluid dynamics. If you were going to, for example, count the number of beavers from space, you wouldn't head count the beavers, you'd count pawns. And the pawns are the lifestyle creation of beavers, and that can help you to get a head count on beavers. And similarly for human beings.
Let's make it frogs for a British audience. We haven't got that many beavers here. Yeah. Although beavers do work, so maybe it was a better analogy. Yeah, there is that. But again, there's a slight Big Brother dimension of that, isn't there, Kate?
I think so. I can understand that employers want to do it. I think everybody accepts that, particularly with if you're in London, the enormous cost of rent. So they want to get the maximum efficiency out of the building, predict hot desking patterns, that kind of thing, which is, I think, what the Telegraph was sort of attempting to do, because it's got a big rent review coming up on its expensive Victoria premises. But I think you have to have the trust and the cooperation of the people who work for you. Otherwise, people just feel spied upon, bullied, resentful. Yeah. I don't think it's a terribly good way to get the best out of people who work for you.
And the way to do that, maybe, Chris, is to suggest to us or to persuade us that it's for our own good.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that we find. A lot of the experiments we conduct, employees are initially very nervous and tentative, but overwhelmingly, when we complete the experiments, they're very reluctant to give up the technology.
Like what, for instance? What's something that we might approve of?
So we can monitor focus and concentration levels, stress and anxiety, through sensors on the body, wearing through the day.
But hang on, we go into work and when we put a kind of skull cap on, so they can measure.
It's not that elaborate.
You're terrifying me at this moment.
John, you're not fond of technology, though, to be fair.
Oh, no, I love technology. That is simply not true. That is one of those myths that's been propagated by some of my jealous colleagues.
Evil and colleagues.
It's absolutely not true. Evil colleagues as well, yes, exactly. No, I'm all for technology, but the idea of wearing a skull cap so that they can measure what I'm thinking or something is slightly scary. Well, you fancy that, Kate?
I don't, personally, but then I have the pleasure of working working at home, so my only boss is the cat, so I'm fine.
Come on, Chris, tell us why that's good for us.
Well, you've probably got a badge here at the BBC that you need to gain access to the facilities that has a sensor inside of it. It's no different from that. The sensors are tiny. They're worn on the body, and they can measure posture. They can measure psychological well-being. Through posture and voice recognition, you can track things like the onset of depression, well-being amongst employees, psychological.
So you can tell us whether the boss can tell whether we're going to get depressed.
Well, you can tell yourself. What I say is that individual employees get very excited about this because, people don't really understand themselves very well. And when you want to understand what makes you productive, what makes you perform to a higher standard, we were able to sit down with individual employees and say, look, these are the conditions under which you are most productive. These are the conditions under which you are performing to the highest standard. These are the conditions under which you're most alert and most satisfied in your job.
I think we need another 3 hours to persuade. But anyway, there we go. We're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid. Thank you. Thank you both very much. Kate Bevan, Chris Brower. Thanks both.
Tweet now if you'd like John to have all that kit so that we can follow his emotions as he's doing the programme.
John's still got the 1950s bacon.
That's all from us. Our editors, Laura Cooper, Dan Kelly.